La Crosse, Wisconsin, is like many other cities its size. With just more than 50,000 residents, it has an historic downtown, an annual Oktoberfest, and a farmer's market on Main Street. But there's one thing that makes La Crosse stand out. Nearly everyone there has planned for their death. 96% of the people in La Crosse who've died had an advanced directive or some sort of documentation outlining how they wanted to die. Nationally, only about 30% of adults have documents like that. Hannah Jaffe-Walt from our Planet Money team explains how La Crosse got to be this way.
I chose a random block in La Crosse to begin, South 30th Street. Door to door, just started asking, do you have an advanced directive, a living will?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
George Phillips has his death planned out, as does his wife, Betty.
Long time ago, yeah.
The couple across the street do, the LeGrands and the Red House next door, them too. In fact, in La Crosse, you're unusual if you don't have one. Several people on South 30th Street told me about the Ericksons. The LeGrands pointed to a white house in the middle of the block and said, for some reason, the Ericksons haven't completed their advance directive. So, of course, I had to go to the White House and awkwardly mention they seem to have a rap on the block for neglecting to make end-of-life plans, which Randy and Catherine Erickson found amusing.
Well, we're having dinner with the LeGrands tomorrow, and maybe we should bring over our forms.
They will definitely ask us again about it, I'm sure.
The Erickson's teenage daughter, Annie, jumped in. I know what to do.
I know for sure if my mom is ever stuck in a coma, and there's no hope for her, that she just wants me to pull the plug, and probably my dad, too. Is she right?
Yes.
This is not a comfortable conversation for me, because I am from the America where talking about death is like talking about sex. You don't do it, at least not a lot, and definitely not on a random Wednesday evening with your parents. But Annie happens to be from this one tiny pocket in the country that just does death differently. She tells me she's got a song picked out for her dad's funeral.
It's Bruce Springsteen's Terry's song.
Why have you already picked one out for your dad?
I don't know.
It's a good funeral song. You know, I mean, the funny thing is it's like a hidden track on one of his CDs.
I feel like you're totally missing the point of this question. But why have you, at 17, imagined the song that you'll sing at your dad's funeral?
I'm not actually sure how it's become such a comfortable conversation.
Here's how death has become such a comfortable conversation in La Crosse. It's basically all because of one guy in town, Bud Hammes. Bud works at one of the local hospitals, Gunderson Health Systems, as a medical ethicist. For years, Bud would get called in when someone's dad had a stroke, was in a coma on machines, and Bud would sit down with the family to try to help them figure out what to do next. Every time, he says, the discussion was excruciating.
What do you think Mom would want? I don't know. Did Dad ever say anything to you? The moral distress that these families were suffering was palpable. You could feel it in the room.
Bud says the thing that was maddening about these conversations was most of the time they'd be talking about a patient who had been sick for years. Why not have that conversation earlier? So Bud started training nurses to ask people ahead of time, would you like to fill out an advance directive? It took a while in La Crosse, but the idea caught on until it got to the point where it is today, where difficult conversations the rest of us spend most, if not all, of our lives avoiding, they happen all the time in La Crosse.
Make yourself at home.
Okay.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Glenn Muhlenkamp is a cheery 81-year-old farmer sitting in his favorite recliner at home. His prostate cancer has spread to his bones, and he's in hospice. A nurse from the hospital, Laura Weedman, is here to help Glenn fill out his advance directive. Glenn's wife, Jenny, is flitting about the room, showing the nurse pictures of every one of her 27 grandkids. And Laura, the nurse, masterfully guides Jenny to a chair next to Glenn to have a conversation Jenny clearly does not want to have.
You know, when people have a chronic illness, like you have, sometimes complications can occur.
Jenny, Glenn's wife, is rocking back and forth on the edge of her chair. Her head's turned away from Glenn and Laura. Her eyes are locked on a window. Laura, the nurse, starts ticking through some options. Okay, Glenn, she says. If your cancer spreads and you reach a point where the treatments will extend your life by a few months and the side effects are pretty serious,
would you want them to continue to do all of that, or would you say, no, stop?
Stop.
Okay. If you had a serious complication from your cancer, but you'd probably live through the complication, you would probably not walk again, or you might not be able to talk again. what would you choose them to do? Continue to do everything they possibly can for you? Or would you say, no, stop?
I'd say, no, stop.
Glenn's wife, Jenny, is still looking at the window at this point, but she started silently weeping. Laura, the nurse, puts a hand on Jenny's knee and forges ahead. Okay, Glenn, she says, same scenario. You'd survive, but you'd never know who you are.
Would you want them to continue to do everything for you, or would you want them to stop?
Stop. Because I've seen that where they're just there.
They're just there.
Yeah.
And that's not for you.
No.
Jenny, the wife, actually gets up at this point and walks into the other room.
Have you had enough of this conversation?
Well, I just had to get up and see what was going on.
Jenny looks around, kind of aimlessly surveying the house. In the living room, the nurse and Glenn finish up the plan for the rest of Glenn's life. No machines, no feeding tubes, no ventilator or CPR. Stop, 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 stop. Difficult conversations like this one help explain another salient fact about La Crosse, something I haven't mentioned yet, but is also very unusual. La Crosse, Wisconsin spends less on healthcare than any other place in the country. The Dartmouth Health Atlas looks at variations in Medicare spending in 306 regions. La Crosse is at the bottom of the list. That's not only because of the planning for death, but Jeff Thompson, CEO of Gunderson, the hospital, says it plays a big role because most people are like Glenn Muhlenkamp. When asked, they say, stop, stop, stop.
It turns out that if you allow patients to choose and direct their care, then often they choose a course that is much less expensive than if people just had to guess.
Bud Hammes and Jeff Thompson are panicked that I am going to make it sound like this is why La Crosse has its advanced care program, so let me clearly say here, it is not. They were trying to help their patients. The reduction in spending was kind of an accident, one that lots of other people now want to copy very much on purpose.
We can hardly handle the calls coming in.
Bud Hammes told me he thinks this is the moment his big idea in La Crosse to get people talking about death might actually go national. The Affordable Care Act encourages providers to figure out how to reduce spending, so Bud is getting lots of calls from hospitals and doctors, and he's putting off retirement to try to help them make the rest of America look more like La Crosse. Hannah Jaffe-Walt, NPR News.